As the kids make their way back to sit with you or out for Children's Church with Miss Chris, I'd like to turn our attention to the scripture reading for this morning. It comes from Proverbs chapter 8, and we'll read verses 11 and 12. You can follow along, please, as I read aloud. Proverbs 8, 11 and 12 says, "Wisdom is better than pearls. Nothing is more delightful than she. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I have found knowledge and discretion." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So last week, my co-pastor Emily kicked off a series of messages that we're calling Earn, Save, Give. And there's two reasons that we're doing this series. One of them is that this is the time of the year when the leadership of our church begins to plan for the ministry that we'll do next year. And part of that process includes budgeting. And so all of our part in that process is to estimate what we intend to give next year and to share that information with the leadership of the church. In fact, your bulletin shows you how you can do that online now this year on the back panel. I did it this week. It works perfectly. And there'll be some cards available to you next Sunday that will allow you to do this as well, to just estimate what you plan to give next year so the leaders of the church can use that in the budgeting process. And we've also asked the staff and the leadership to go ahead and lead the way in doing that. So that's one reason that we're spending these three Sundays on the topic of stewardship. But the second reason is because Emily and I recognize that if we're going to ask this of you, then we want to give you something in the process. And the fact is, the Bible and the Christian tradition contain practical and holy wisdom about what we do with what we have. Because what we do with what we have matters. And you know, people pay good money for financial advice, planning, coaching, even rescue, like the folks in this video. Watch this.
Oh, I just can't get these numbers to add up.
It's like we're never going to get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help. We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Oh, let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh, then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless, and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously, If You Don't Have the Money, Don't Buy It, along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
Okay, so maybe you recognize that Saturday Night Live sketch from 12 years ago with Amy Poehler and Steve Martin. And it seems so simple or obvious. But the average American under the age of 40 actually has a negative savings rate. In other words, spends more than they bring in. And some estimates are as high as a third of all Americans have zero in savings. Which is why we teach our kids the 10-10-80 rule. With every dollar they bring in, 10 of it you give back to God through the church, 10 of it you save, and then you live off of or with the remaining 80, hoping that as we put that principle into them as a child, it'll stay with them as they grow up. And the fact is, even if you don't believe in God or Jesus, there will be some practical reason, some practical wisdom in this series of sermons that will be helpful for you. And so, like I mentioned last week, Emily kicked off the series with the first lesson, which is earn all you can or gain all you can. And all of this comes from a sermon that one of the founders of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, delivered in 1760 called The Use of Money. And in that, his outline about the use of money for Christians was to gain all you can or earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. So over 250 years ago, there were some basic principles laid down for us that are still useful today. And Emily shared with us the importance of earning all you can or gaining all you can, which really means to participate in the work of God in the world, to work at whatever it is that you do, like you're working for the Lord. Honestly, diligently, and not abusing self or neighbor in the process. If you missed that message last week, you can go listen to it on the church's website or on our podcast. I highly recommend that to you. So this week we turn from earning all you can to saving all you can. And our scripture reading from the Proverbs is especially helpful in this regard. First, it points us to wisdom. The writer of the Proverbs says, wisdom is better than pearls. Nothing is more delightful than she. You think about King Solomon in the Old Testament. That was the one thing he wanted more than anything. When God told Solomon, whatever you ask for, I'll give it to you. And what did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. Discernment. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for long life. He didn't even ask for a bitter destruction of his enemies. When God said, what do you want? And I'll give it to you. Solomon asked for wisdom. And wisdom's different than knowledge, right? I mean, knowledge is just knowing stuff. And in that regard, knowledge is like a tool. Wisdom is knowing how to use that tool. Right, like I can go to the hardware store and buy a cordless drill or a screw gun, and then I've got a tool. But it doesn't do me any good if I don't know how to use it. And so wisdom is knowing what to do with what you know. Jim Harnish is a retired Methodist pastor, and he wrote a book based off of this sermon from John Wesley, and it's called Earn, Save, Give. It's a really good book. Emily and I highly recommend it to anybody as a good read about stewardship and what we do with what we have. But one of the things he says in there about wisdom is he says, wise living may not ensure that we will be rich, but it will always lead to a healthy, prosperous, and abundant life. And the writer of Proverbs says, wisdom is better than pearls. There's nothing that's more desirable than wisdom. And then moving sort of into the first person of wisdom says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, which is shrewdness, kind of a good sense about you, some caution, even maybe some craftiness, guile, prudence about life and about what you do with what you have. And see, this is why the proverb is relevant for us as we think about what we do with what we have, because what we do with what we have matters. And actually, those verses in the Message translation, it says, "I, wisdom, share a house with prudence, and we live down the street from knowledge and discretion." They're just sort of all shacking up together in the same neighborhood. And that we experience them together. We gain knowledge and wisdom as we practice and live out discretion and prudence. And in his sermon, The Use of Money, John Wesley put it this way. He said, look, you've worked hard to earn all you can, to gain all you can. Don't waste it on desires or lust or pride, because the more they are indulged, the more they increase. And he also said, don't purchase these temptations for your children either, but instead be content. And see, this is the radicalness of the gospel of Jesus, because it is so contrary to our culture. In a world of excess, luxury, and unchecked pursuit of wealth, in a free market economy where people who have resources bristle at any constraints or impediments on their path to more, in a world where making more money seems like the highest end, and everything else, even human decency, takes a back seat, our faith in Jesus and our willingness to be formed by the Scriptures point to a different way, a way of prudence, of contentment, of being satisfied. So in this way, this is the perfect balance to gain all you can, is to save all you can. But prudent saving is not hoarding. This is not Scrooge McDuck swimming around in a pool full of gold coins. But it's saving to be prepared, to be able to help others, to make wise investments in things like a home or a car, to buy things that you have the money to afford. Being prudent and content with what we have means teaching ourselves to live within our means, building margin into our lives and into our budgets, learning to live on less and less instead of more and more. Several years ago, I listened to former United Methodist Bishop Will Willimon, who's now the dean of the Divinity School at Duke, and he was addressing a group of seminarians as they were preparing to strike out into ministry. And having been one of those seminarians at one point in my life, you know, you look out at the world and at your future and at the church, and full of excitement and energy and vigor. And at the time, Bishop Willimon, speaking to this group of seminarians, said, you need to decide now how much you need to live on. Figure that out for yourself, for your family. Because if you can't decide that now, then what will happen to your vocation? And he was speaking specifically to people who were going to be pastors of churches. But I mean, there's a sense in which I think it applies to all of us. If you can't decide that now, what it takes for you to live and to be content and be happy, if you can't decide that now, then what you're going to find is you'll be chasing every $1,000, $2,000 raise that you can get. And again, for the seminarians, it would have been from this church to that church, this pulpit to that pulpit, sort of climbing that ladder. And you'll find your life and your ministry is shaped by that pursuit. And maybe even instead of being shaped by simply being who God called you to be and following God's calling on your life as a pastor, to serve wherever you're sent and being content there. See, money is, it's just a tool. Kind of like knowledge. Knowing what to do with it is what makes the difference. There's a place in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his protege in ministry. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's a line there that most all of us know, that the love of money is the root of all evil. If you're looking for something to read in the Bible this week, I highly recommend 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's a good read, not just for that verse, but for everything else that's around it. Because one of the other things that Paul says there is godliness is the source of great wealth or profit when it is combined with being happy with what you have. When it's combined with contentment. Paul says, because we don't bring anything into this world and we don't take anything out of it when we go. And then on down he says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, all kinds of temptation. Gathering wealth is a temptation that taps into something, a harmful passion. And so in an effort for wisdom and prudence, we do, in a sense, have to push back against that temptation. I saw a TED Talk once by a woman named Jessie Arrington. She's a designer. She lives in Brooklyn and travels all over speaking and teaching about design. But one of the interesting things about her and about this particular TED Talk was she said she doesn't ever buy any new clothes, with the exception of underwear, just in case you were starting to think through that process of a little bit. And she was at this conference, at this TED conference, giving this TED Talk, and she said, for example, I didn't bring any luggage, I didn't bring any clothes, except for underwear. So she said whenever she travels, when she lands, the first thing she does is she finds a thrift store, secondhand shop, and she goes, and she's a designer, so she has an eye, she goes and finds clothes and outfits that she can wear while she's wherever she is. And then before she gets on the plane to go back home, she takes it all back to the thrift store. And that wasn't just something she does when she travels. It's the way that she lives in the world. She doesn't buy any new clothes. And for her, it was simply a matter of being a good steward. Not just of what she has, but of what we have. There's no need, she said, for me to buy a new article of clothing. We got more than enough clothes to go around in our world. She said, secondhand shopping allows me to reduce the impact that my wardrobe has on the environment and on my wallet. She said, fitting in is way overrated. And it's things like that that have inspired me and inspired us, my family, to reconsider how we live in the world and what we do with what we have and how we can build margin into our lives and to be prudent, to be content. So we love to go thrift store shopping. For the longest time in our ministry, it wasn't until our third child was born that we ever had cable television in our house. We don't buy the newest iPhone the day that it comes out. We buy one less outfit. Share entrees when we go out to eat. Take a little bit less of a vacation, not pack it full and spend as much as we possibly can. All of those are just ways that we've experienced being content, saving what we can, building margin into our lives. In the pew, there's a card that looks like this. It's probably in front of you in the pocket where the hymnal was. If you'd take a second just to grab it. And take it with you. This is for you. And it has a purpose for you this week. Even if you want to flip it over and give it a look, you'll hopefully find some helpful information there. But as you're looking at it, I ask you this question. Have you wondered yet what you would do if you won the $1.6 billion in the Mega Millions lottery? Dreaming about what you could buy or who you could help or how much you'd give to the church, Emily and I were joking that it's biblical. Any lottery winnings, you're supposed to tithe 20% on those, not just 10%. I don't know if you knew that. It's fun to sort of wonder and dream about that kind of stuff. I mean, and I hate to break it to you, but the odds of you hitting that 1.6, not great. But what if you just had 10, an additional 10 or 20% of your income, of what you do have? What if you had that uncommitted to some expense or expenditure? What if you just had an additional 10 or 20% of your income margin in your life? Now, that may not feel $1.6 billion good, but it would feel good just to have a little bit more space, a little bit more room. And again, not creating that or saving that for that Scrooge McDuck kind of feeling, but saving to be prepared. Saving to be able to be helpful, to be generous in the world and in your community. Would you even be willing to consider today or this week how you could take a step in that direction? To save all you can. To build margin into your life. To work towards being content. And learning to live on less and less instead of more and more. Maybe this week, would you be willing to consider maybe a good habit you have in that regard that you just want to strengthen, or maybe putting a new habit into your life or into your family's life, so that you can handle what you gain prudently. Work against the temptations all around us in a consumeristic culture. And in that way, honor God and make space for God to work in your life. In just a minute, we're going to celebrate the communion meal. We'll